The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Good morning, Dave Doble. How are you?
I'm good, my friend. How about yourself?
Everything is fine. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina. That's where we are. Finally.
I hear you.
Again.
Get to see the babies.
Yeah, baby. And two more coming. Two due in March.
So wow.
2 weeks apart. Yeah. So all good. All good. Blessings. This would be our Thanksgiving edition of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. So you can call us this week at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the number to call for questions. This week, David, I thought we would go up. We would like raise our thoughts and get up in the attic, because there's a lot going on in the attic. Well, you hope not too much going on. But most of the time, most of the year, it's just unbearable to be up there because it's so hot, right? This time of year, you can get up there, put a sweater on, and get around and do some things. So I thought we would take a look at what's going on in the attic. I am reminded every time I think about attic inspections, though. Was it the gentleman from Waxhaw or Monroe who called us?
From Monroe with the snake?
Snakes in the attic. Yeah.
Because one of the inspection started out with mice.
Right. Yeah. He's like, I had mice up there. Well, first I had, I don't know what he had up there. And so he put the mice up there to get them. It's like that song. The horse, like I swallowed a fly, swallowed a frog, catch the fly. Whatever. My kids know that. I don't know that. Anyway, so snakes. And then the snakes were there to get the mice. We don't know if we ever got a mongoose to get the snakes out or not. But I don't know. That was a long time ago. Anyway, so we're going to be in the attic. We're not looking for a mongoose. Is the plural of mongoose mongeese, do you think? I don't know.
I don't know.
Mongooses?
And you know what? I don't care.
I was going to say, let's put that on a list of things to worry about. Didn't make it. All right. Give it help. Save it. 704. We're going to get in the attic. We're going to talk about insulation. We're going to talk about ventilation. We're going to talk about looking for leaks. We're going to talk about pests. Your mother-in-law's in the attic. That could be problematic. That rhymes. Exhaust ducts, vents. We're going to talk a little bit about the bath vent that goes up into the attic, and where does it go? Does it stop there? Does it go out? We'll talk a little bit about HVAC. We're going to take a chapter from our friend John Canamella's book about infrared cameras and maybe an inexpensive infrared camera that could be helpful. And then I have a checklist actually. From like an insurance company, like when they go in and look at things and do things. And some of it is a little bit of overkill, but I thought it would be really cool to walk through that, because it kind of forces you to look at things that you wouldn't normally look at as a typical consumer. So I thought we would take a look at that. What does email look like, David? I haven't.
Well, it's been quiet. It's been quiet the last week, but a couple of weeks ago we were had quite a few emails, so we could go back
and hello flurry
pull some of those up. And it's been quiet. It was we were a little busy. We had Lauren on last week with Acosta Heating and Cooling and Electrical, and so we had quite a few questions on air, which were good. We're great. And of course, there's lines open 704-570-1110. We'll do some of the older emails. We had some good emails. Folks looking for some professionals for contractors in the different trades. Just some really good questions. One of them I think we ought to talk about was a panel that they told them was 40 years old, and that's about the life expectancy of a panel. And but the guy said that the insurance company, if there was ever a problem, they might not pay because the panel was too old. So interesting question. And I don't really know how much of that's true or not, but I do know, I do have some information about electrical panels that we do know is true.
All right.
So we could certainly share that.
That would be great. That would be a really good kind of in the spirit of inspection or paying attention to things that you don't typically pay attention to. That would be a great,
absolutely.
That would be a great one. And then we'll do our Home Depot product of the week. This is my favorite time of year. Like I had a store walk on Thursday working on some IT enhancements for picking orders and stuff like that. And I got there a little bit early and I left a little bit late. And I just wandered around aisles looking at all like the tools that are all out. And the, you know, this is my favorite time for like pro packs and like multiple. It's a wonderful, terrible
thing. I do it pretty regularly, so.
Anyway, so we'll talk about that. We got that as well. We're right up against a break here, so we're going to go ahead and take it. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We are at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Lots of lines open. We're anxious to help you with those pre-Thanksgiving home improvement questions. And so get them ready, and we'll make sure we give you good information. You can also go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, and send us an email that way, and we can take a little bit deeper dive on different topics for you. So don't go away. Grab a cup of coffee. We're going to do that, and we'll be back when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these important messages.
I'm Dave Dolphin.
We'd love to hear from you this morning. We've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to talk about the attic and anything else that you think is important if you call us at 704-570-1110. David, one of the things before we even talk about the attic, and I think in our opinion, this is true, attic space, crawl space, anywhere that you've got to go that you might not normally want to just hang out, light it up. Before we talk about anything in the attic, I would say, if you're not, I think we got to just say have an electrician do it, because I don't know where code starts and stops on that. If truth be told, I did my own, depends on how big the attic is, and some are broken up, you know, depending on your roof line and stuff, but get bright lights up in there and light the place up. And then put a switch down where you can, you know, turn it on and off before you get up there. And David, I would suggest just a little indicator switch that's got the red light on it when it's on and it goes out when it's off, just so you know that you don't leave the lights on up there. That does require, you know, a neutral and a ground, or a hot and a neutral and a ground to run that little light. But again, it can be done. If you're not handy that way, get an electrician to do it. I think it's worth it. It's just worth it.
Yeah. Timer switch will work as well.
Right. Great point. And so you just don't want to leave it on up there. And then I use now you can get just these 100 watt equivalent LED bulbs. They're not bothered by temperature. They'll burn forever. They last forever. So you don't have to try to crawl into weird places to try to change a burned out bulb. So I think our first recommendation is just get up there and light it up, man. Bring it to the light. And then we can talk about all kinds of other things, right? Now,
yes.
So this is good advice that you've always given, David. So now that I just said, hey, light it up, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to go into the attic and do an inspection, before you turn on the lights, leave the lights off and get up there and look around, right? And what are we look, David, you, from a ventilation perspective, what's the idea there?
Well, if you're looking for your intake and your exhaust. So especially these days, because most houses have ridge vents. And if you had your roof replaced and it didn't have ridge vents, they probably sold you ridge vents. And so in order for a ridge vent to work, it has to have intake vents, which are normally low at the soffits. So you want to look around the perimeter. If you just have a gable roof, you're going to see them on the the slant, the slope of the roof on the front and the back usually. And you're going to look for daylight coming in there. On a hip roof, which is four slopes, you're going to see daylight coming around all the way. So the entire perimeter, you should see some daylight coming in. If you go in your attic and you have a ridge vent and you don't see any daylight when the lights are off, you have a problem because you don't have any intake. And what I see a lot, John, is they'll put a ridge vent on a house and it'll only have gable end vents, which are either the triangles or rectangles up in the ends of the gable. You're not doing yourself any good. You paid for something that's really not doing its job, which is a shame. I hate it. I hate it that people sell those to folks and don't explain to them how they work and what should be done. But a ridge vent only works best with soffit vents, just the way they were designed.
It's just it allows nature, physics, to do what it does, right? Mm-hmm. So as the air heats up, it escapes through the ridge vent. Nature abhors a vacuum, so when the hot air escapes through the ridge vent, it draws cooler air in through the lower soffit vents. And because you have air exiting at the highest point and entering at the lowest point, you really do move all the air in the attic, which is also important from any of a number of perspectives, right?
Right, sure. And if you don't have the soffit vents, then the air that you're exchanging is only in the top third of the attic, because it's getting its air from the gable vents, and that's not doing a job. Technically, according to directions, you're supposed to cover those gable vents up and take those out of service and then utilize soffit vents. And don't fret, because you can have soffit vents installed, and that is certainly it's worth it, that's for sure, to get that done. And then I guess while you have the lights off, just make sure that the ridge vent is open too, because I have seen some cases where they were installed where they ran the tar paper over the cut. They made the cut on the roof but ran the tar paper over top of it and they blocked the vent.
Yeah, so that actually happened on. To us. Yeah, that happened to us in that new house that we had built there in just down 521. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
All right. So light it up and then turn the lights off, but get up there. So in ventilation, if you don't see light around the perimeter of the attic and you go outside and say, well, gee, maybe I don't have soffit vents. You go outside and you do have soffit vents. Then we've got a challenge with the insulation, right? Mm-hmm. Where the insulation has just been packed too tightly into that space, and then pulling it back and installing like a baffle board. It's a little styrofoam piece that fits between the roof rafters or the trusses, and it keeps the insulation back from the vents, right?
or a cardboard dam, which. Right. It's really hard to install those after the fact. Usually that kind of a baffle or dam, if you will, is installed before the drywall's installed, of course, before the insulation's installed. But they're stapled in place, and what they do is they leave the area between the roof sheathing and the cardboard open, but it goes down to the wall, and that allows the insulation to stop there. They're long enough or tall enough that even if the code changes the insulation, there's enough room that it can be piled up along there without spilling over into the soffit.
We had to add baffle boards in the attic of this house down here. And so that's why God gives you children, because Rebecca went up there with me. She's tiny. And she's like, I can't get over there. And so, boop, boop, like, she's a little, I don't know what, just off
gymnast.
And she installed all the baffle boards in our house. I was very grateful.
Yeah, tough on an adult for sure. A large adult.
Yeah, I'm that large.
No offense, John.
No. I am large. and anyway, larger in other places that I was never large before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're talking about the attic. We're talking about insulation. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. Insulation. I don't know. I didn't put this in any particular order, David. So if you got to back me up, or you know, say, hey, talk about this first. But let's go to insulation.
Sure.
Before we talk about leaks and stuff like that, are you seeing still mostly blown-in insulation in attics?
Yeah, I think that's the majority. I think it's the easiest. It tends to fill all the voids. We had a great call last week. And I don't remember the gentleman's name, Todd. I have it written right here. Anyway, he was remodeling a house, and it was downstairs, but kind of the same thought process. He had the drywall taken out of the first 4 feet of a room, and it was an older house. I think it said 40 or 50s it was built. Anyway, they were doing some wiring, and he wanted to know, should he just take the drywall out to the ceiling? And I said, if it was me, I would, because I would pop the insulation down if there was any, and I would air seal the outside corners. If it was an outside wall, I would do all the air sealing on that wall. And then, of course, then I explained that's probably why me flipping houses, probably I would never make any money. But anyway, he the same thing. If in the attic, if you can air seal anything while you're there, that's ideal. And when we talk about that, we're talking about pipes, wires, anything that penetrates down into the walls, because chances are that was never done, and that's almost as important as the insulation. Making sure that you don't have air driving back and forth from the interior of the house to the crawl space or the attic.
That's a really good point. We're going to be close to a break here, so we'll go ahead and take it. But one of the things that we'll talk about in the whole insulation conversation is all the different penetrations through your attic, you know, not just the roof, but into the living spaces and stuff like that as well. So we'll go ahead and take our break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break here. You can call us at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. We'll talk about your home improvement questions, and we'll continue our discussion of attic inspections when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're ready for your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. First, we're going to do our Home Depot product of the week. This is my favorite time of the year at Home Depot. All kinds of good stuff. If you're a professional, man, this is the time of year to buy saw blades and accessories and stuff like that. Just kind of, all kinds of great deals. But this week, I want to focus on the Rigid Modular Toolbox. I'm looking at one. But what I love about it is that it's modular. It's part of a system that's stackable. The one I'm looking at, I mean, they have it's a 2.0. It actually has a capacity of 10 gallons, 9.9 gallons. It's about 12 inches high, about 2 feet wide, and about a foot deep. I'm jealous because both my son-in-law and my son own the whole rigid stackable system. They are super great. This one also, David, you know how when you're working new construction, or, you know, you talked about tearing out the drywall, this particular box comes with two little clips. You screw them into your studs, 16 on center, and then the box will hang on the wall. So it's not down on the floor. You could actually do that, I guess, if it was going to be part of your storage. You could store stuff in it in your tool room and then pick it up off the wall and go mobile. And take it with you. There's a rolling toolbox. There's a rolling chest. They lock together with little clips. So if you stack them up on the rolling piece, they're not falling all over the place. They kind of work a little bit like Legos as far as stacking. Anyway, I don't want to eat up a ton of time talking about this thing, but I love the Rigid products. Super well built. This thing is $40, $39.97. It may be a little bit more or a little bit less, depending on, you know, market freight and whatever, all those things that go into it. But just an awesome gift to yourself. I can't say enough good stuff about this, and have hands-on experience with it. It's just really, really good stuff. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. This week, it's the Rigid Modular Toolbox. And I'll tell you to go out there and look at the whole system, because if you're looking for gifts for dad, you get one. Birthday, you can get another one. Father's Day, you can get another one. Odd Thursday of the second month of spring, you can get another one. Whatever the deal is, it's you can tell I just look for an excuse to buy tools and stuff. But really good, really good. I love it. All right, enough of that. 704-570-1110. David, we were up in the attic. We've got the lights on now. And we're talking about insulation. We talked about making sure it's back from the, you know, from the soffit vents and stuff like that. And you said you're still seeing mostly blown-in insulation. Blown in cellulose or blown in fiberglass?
It's mostly fiberglass. Don't see much cellulose these days.
I think, which is kind of is good. I mean, it's itchy and so on, but I think it doesn't settle out as badly as the cellulose does.
I would agree. I have to throw this in there. So we had some friends over Wednesday night for a friend's birthday party, a little surprise party we had for him, and I gave these guys a tour, and they were shocked. You know, we spent most of our time in the attics and the shop, but they were shocked at the temperature in the attic, because it was a little cool Wednesday night. But we talked about that, and they're fans of the show, and they listen. They've been listening, and they heard us talking about me building this house, but they got to see it and they were shocked. So again, I just have to say, if it's in the cards, if it's in the budget, if you're even slightly thinking about it, get a price on foam in your attic. You want to talk about not worrying about insulation, not worrying about varmints, and air sealing does it all.
Yeah.
It takes care of all of it.
In one fell swoop. One fell swoop.
It really does.
The way your attic is designed, roof design, you probably could have played poker up there. There's enough room.
Yeah, well, it did end up they were a little shocked at how big it was, but it's just the way the house was designed. It's the way it ended up, but it looks good, you know, aesthetically from the outside is what the plan was. So it's a 9-12 pitch, so it's a tall roof up there. Seems like a waste of space, but maybe it is.
I don't know. I didn't think so, but who cares what I think. All right, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking about attics. We're up in the attic doing an inspection. Insulation, you're looking for, what is code now in Mecklenburg County for attic insulation?
R38. Yes, gone up,
so,
a little bit.
So that's traditional R30 bat plus what? I mean, how are you retrofitting? I guess you don't have to retrofit. It's just new construction has to meet that spec.
New construction has to meet that. But if you're going to add insulation to your attic, which Lauren and I talked about that last week, is that that's still, in my opinion, the biggest bang for your buck.
Yes,
it is. Adding insulation to your attic doesn't necessarily have to be foam. Get somebody out and have them top off the insulation that you have. You know, the kind of the big thing, I know we're getting close to a break. But get somebody up there and let them estimate. They're going to do the square footage. They're going to add, you know, if the code's R38, it's not going to hurt if there's an extra 6 inches or 12.
No.
You're only going to benefit from it. So if it's a little bit more than what code is, you'll be ready for the next code change.
There you go. All you got to worry about that is refrigerant changes every 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. All right. We're gonna take a break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're up in the attic talking about the attic, but we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Dave, I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dover.
704-570-1110. We're talking attics. We're up in the attic. We're talking insulation. If you've got the opportunity to do you know, a complete seal, sprayed insulation in the attic. We're saying, you know, two thumbs up for that. I think, David, a couple things, just it's a little detour, but I think it's important to speak about. If you go the route of sealing the attic, spraying it, you do have a couple considerations from an HVAC perspective. One is you got, if you've got a fossil fuel burning furnace up there, you've got to bring outside air in for combustion. And you're a good spray foam person will know that and will accommodate that in the plan. And then the second, David, is a little bit more complex, and that is it's entirely possible that you change the heat load or the load requirements for the house because you don't have this huge heat input, and your air conditioning system could be oversized, which would cause some cycling issues, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing for a sealed attic is really a variable speed unit. You have much more control anyway, but as you say, you could have too many BTUs, and it's really more important for the air conditioning. The heat is not such a big deal. It can run and come on and go right back off. That's great. But air conditioning needs to run for a length of time so that it takes care of the humidity. And then, of course, if you have a sealed attic, which is was explained to those guys the other night, is that you really want to have total control of the house with the humidity. So starting in the crawl space, if you have one, you want to control the moisture in the crawl space, make sure it's not damp, it's not getting wet, because that moisture eventually makes its way to the attic. It's just the natural path. And so if you can control that, you are in much better shape, because once moisture gets in the attic in the form of humidity, it can get trapped between the foam and the roof deck, and you certainly don't want that, because eventually that can become a problem and cause rot on the sheathing, and you don't know it until
too late
steps through. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
because you don't see it. You know, I don't even see the rafters in my attic. They're completely covered up. It kind of reminds me of being in a cave. You've seen some of those fake caves or things that you walk through. And that's what that is. It's all sprayed with some type of a polymer.
The yellow cave.
Foam. Yeah. It's. But in the end, it's worth it. The benefits are there. And I don't know. I mean, I don't. What else do you say? It's a good way to go. I'm just, as I tell people, I'm surprised that it's not part of the code yet.
Yeah. I wonder when that comes to pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess would be okay. Yeah, it does. A couple things to think about, though. You really do want to get a qualified installer, because you only have to Google, you know, I don't know what it is you Google to find debacles, but and I had a friend, a good friend, have a poor installation done, and it was a mess. It continued to off gas to the point that kids were getting sick and so on, and as it turns out, he had no idea. He hired a guy. When he went back after all this went down and looked, the guy just didn't know what he was doing and had multiple complaints and so on. So
sure.
In Charlotte, there's a lot of really good options. I think Austin Insulation does spray foam also, do they not?
Yeah, that's who, maybe that's who did our house for us.
Yeah. So you want somebody that's in the business, been in the business, knows what they're doing, and like any other great product, poor installation is a problem. So. All right, we're talking insulation. We talked about you need to be R38. There's all kinds of different charts that you can Google if you've got blown-in fiberglass, if you've got blown-in cellulose, and it'll tell you how deep that insulation needs to be in order to achieve the R value that you're looking for. David, if you had to go back in and add additional insulation, would you blow it in, or would you just roll out unfaced fiberglass?
I probably would blow it in, just because it's there's less labor involved, so therefore it's cheaper to install it. There's a lot more labor involved to roll it out, and there's a lot more opportunity
to go through the ceiling.
Yeah, a mishap exactly. So the less time that you spend walking on the joist up there and trying to make your way around, the better off you are. I actually have a little job for a good customer of mine. They bought an older house, or a used house, I guess you would say, but they have ridge vents and their gable vents aren't covered. And I'm going to go in and cover these vents for him. But it's to get to some of these areas to put a ladder up. It's not exactly easy. So you got to lay plywood down right across to get to the area. And then you have to lay a piece of plywood down to be able to put a short extension ladder on. Of course, you got to get the extension ladder in the attic.
Right.
So, you know, all of that creates some hassle. So
eventually there will be a drone that works in the attic that has a little crane and a little staple gun and all that stuff. And if you can invent that, nice? David, that would be like,
or if you just had a drone that could be strong enough to lift me up.
We're not going there. We've already talked about things that got big over the years. All right.
Not happening.
All right. So let's, do you have any emails up, David? Do you want to take an email break, or can I keep going down this? Or
maybe keep going. I've got to.
Yeah, I'm going to let you pop it up, and then, yeah, that's fine. So the other thing that we want to talk about while we're in the attic is, and the reason we like having lots of light in the attic, is you really want to do a thorough inspection for leaks. And there's a couple common misunderstandings about leaks. Number one is, if you've got a leak in the attic, it's because there's a problem with your shingles, or your roof is leaking, or there's an active leak. More often than not, a leak in the attic is coming from a roof boot, which is the rubber piece flange that fits over like your vent pipe, or anything that penetrates the roof surface has a cover over it to keep water from getting in. And there's a little plastic or neoprene collar that holds tightly to the pipe. And over a period of time, the UV rays of the sun make that less resilient, and it can crack. And then actually it happens more in a slower rain than it does in a heavy rain. But the water will come down that vent pipe. And then the problem always with leaks is, where it manifests could be 5, 10, 15 feet away from where the actual leak is. So with all kinds of good lights on and a very bright flashlight, you want to check every single penetration of the roof to make sure that you don't see water marks there. If you've got, you don't see a vent pipe running horizontal typically in the attic. They're coming straight up a plumbing wall and going out the roof.
But they can. They just have to be pitched. Because I do have a couple in mind, because my brother helped plumb the house, and I didn't want any vents going out the front of the house.
Right.
And so we ran him across, and he thought I was nuts, but I just said, well.
No, I think that's aesthetically the right way to think about it. And then the challenge for that is, if you do have a leak along that, it could come down the pipe, and then it'll run for a while on that, because it's pitched, right? It's exactly as you say. So it could run until it's heavy enough to drop off. And so you could be 10 feet away. Again, just check that area. Check your, we're talking about checking to make sure that the ridge vent is open and so on. So I think those are the big things from a leak perspective. You want to make sure that any penetration through the roof is thoroughly inspected. And then if you see a problem there, I think rather than bust out the caulk tube, you really do want to get a roofing professional out, get them on the roof, make sure. It could be as simple as sliding a replacement. I call it sleeve, but over the vent pipe, just to seal that that collar back up again, and you're back in business. So look, we are just out of time. We're going to take our break, take a long break here at the top of the hour. We'll be back to talk home improvement. If you've got questions, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. You can always go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, send us a question that way. When we come back, we'll look at some emails that we've gotten over the last couple of weeks, and we'll continue our conversations in the attic. We're going to talk about pests up there. We're going to talk about ductwork, HVAC, discolorations, and all of those wonderful things that happen up in the attic space while you sleep or live in the surface below. Don't go away, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
And we are taking your calls at 704-570-1110. Before we jump over to our callers, we're going to quickly do our Home Depot product of the week. This is my favorite time of the year at the Home Depot. Christmas time coming. All kinds of awesome tools, tool kits, accessory kits. Just great values on great products. My favorite this week is the Rigid Modular Toolbox. It's the 9.9. It's a 24 inches, really 24 inch toolbox. 22 wide, I guess, it's an awesome deal. It's part of a modular system, so they stack. It's actually dust proof and waterproof, so it's got a gasket around the inside. So if you've got it on the job site and dust is flying, all the stuff inside is not getting full of dust. Comes with little clips that you can actually screw to the wall and then hang this on the wall on a job site or in your tool room so that it can hang in storage and then be picked up and carried off. And it sells for the whopping price of like $39. So it's not get a second mortgage to buy a real quality toolbox. It's got the Rigid name, and so you know the quality is there. So that's it. That's our, I will add, it's part of a whole modular system. You got to check it out. It's a great gift idea because you can do, you know, multiple occasions and just add to the system. So super great deal. Our Home Depot product of the week is the Rigid Toolbox. It's part of the 2.0 Pro modular system. Check it out today. All right. Now we got to jump back over. We've got folks who've been patiently waiting, and thank you for that. Is Ken still with us? Do we get his questions dealt with or no?
Don't know.
Okay. Let's get Bill. Bill, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
How can we help?
We're retired and living in a home that we plan to be in for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. We just had a HVAC unit go down, 19-year-old compressor failed.
Okay.
7 years ago, we purchased a gas. Everything was heat pump in this home. But 7 years ago, we purchased a gas heat pump unit, 3-ton. Really like mm-hmm. it. We're looking now at the technology, and I hear this dual fuel. What's the difference between what we bought 7 years ago is just a gas furnace with a heat pump versus dual fuel? And what would you suggest we do? We plan to be in the house the next 20 years.
Yeah. So, look, we're big fans of dual fuel because it kind of gives you the best of both worlds. It allows you to use your system as a heat pump when the temperature is mild and you can efficiently extract heat from the air and keep your home warm. It's going to work just like an air conditioner fundamentally for everything else when it's time to cool. But then on a heat pump, when it gets too cold to get, you know, very efficient, or it's not as efficient. When you have dual fuel, it uses the electric heat pump to warm, you know, when the temperature allows that. And then when it's time for the extra oomph, to use a technical HVAC term, instead of firing up a more expensive electric auxiliary heat, it uses gas, which is, even though it's more expensive, tends to be less expensive than electric. And so if you have that option, and it sounds like you do, David, I think we say two thumbs up to that, especially because it's going to be a little more expensive on the front end. But if he's going to be there 20 years, we're saying payback happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Be a good call for the dual fuel.
Yeah.
Okay, one additional question, gentlemen. There's discussion about variable speed fan, variable speed compressors. I'm assuming that's with the heat pump. And what SEER rating do you buy?
Well, I did a 21 21 or 22 SEER, but I didn't did a do fuel. We got a traditional, well, it's not traditional gas furnaces. It's multi-stage as well, and it is a direct vent. It's vented with PVC. So
that's what we have now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And been very happy with it. There's some difference in cost in that. We didn't look at it. I didn't even look at a heat pump dual fuel because we have gas available, and I've just always had a gas furnace. So that was our thing.
Okay. So if you're putting this in my house with your experience, which would you do?
Because I'm in a different situation, you have to understand, because I'm the way that we sealed and insulated our house, it's very, very tight. The gas furnace, we've never had a gas bill over $75 in this house. And we have all gas dryer, gas grill, gas griddle, water heater, all of it is gas. So we're very pleased, and it's going to go up a little bit. I heard from the gas company we're going to have a little bit of an increase, but it's probably not going to affect us much just because. So I chose the gas furnace, and I spent the money on I bumped up to the variable speed furnace and air conditioner, and we didn't spend any more money to do a dual fuel. So,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Is that good?
Thank you.
All right,
gentlemen.
Man. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. All right. Let's see. I got trouble with, there we go. I'm trying to watch our time here. Next up, we got to take a break.
We got time.
We got time.
Yeah, you can spread it.
Okay, so let's talk to Joshua. Josh, good morning on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Hey, man, how are you guys?
Excellent. Great. How can we help?
Man, I was wanting to call with a little insight on the stab lock Federal Pacific conversation.
Yeah.
Shout out to the 70-year-old man electrician working today.
I know.
Man. That's
He's
awesome.
My hero.
Awesome. Amen.
I think the average age of an electrician is about 55. So we need more trade schools. How about that?
Yeah, we do.
Yep, yep, yep.
I wanted to say they make refurbished stab lock and Federal Pacific breakers. A lot of electricians don't even know that. And you can buy those, you know, I don't want to necessarily shout the company, but at an electrical supply house, I can tell you where. And a lot of time that changing out will do a lot. But I'm like your other caller. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But they say one out of three of those breakers are bad. And that's why they have recall. It's not necessarily a recall, but why they recommend changing it.
Right. And so that's Federal Pacific, right?
Yeah. And some people call it Stablot, Federal Pacific. Satco, I think, is another brand. But these things are a nuisance, but doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be changed. A lot of people stress, you know, their house is going to burn down.
Right.
First and foremost, I would do like a smoke detector and a carbon of some sort, and then get you a good old-fashioned electrician that you trust. And I wanted electricians and people to know that they do make those breakers refurbished. And a lot of times that will cure your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And in the other panel, since you know about this, the other panel's Challenger. Was that the other? Yeah, that was so bad. That was melting down.
Absolutely. And you guys nailed it big time with making sure that the specific breaker goes to the specific name.
Right.
That's a big deal for us and inspections and such. A lot of breakers will fit each other and you're like, oh, that's great. But we really want to be specific. And that's a simple Google search. Of knowing what brands are compatible. So don't let someone sell you. I'm an advocate for being an electrician and my electricians. I want all of us to make money. But at the same time, that's where we make our money. People are going to charge you big time for a service change. And sometimes it doesn't need that.
Just be fair. Right.
Yeah. And I just love what y'all do in general because, you know, you're helping people and all of that. So that's why I wanted to call to let people know the same thing, man. And
Joshua,
again,
we appreciate it.
70-year-old electrician going to work.
We love it, man. And we need them. To your point, we desperately need them. Joshua, thank you so much for your call. Have a happy Thanksgiving. All right. Good information. Again, most grateful for the awesome listeners that we have. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back to answer home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
And we're taking calls in the lightning round at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Right now, we're going to talk to Ed. Good morning, Ed. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How can we help?
Hey, fellas. Hey, I just had a quick question about caulking windows. I'm getting ready to do some, and it seemed like I remember hearing y'all saying that you needed to leave maybe a gap at the bottom for water to, if I got any moisture behind the window.
Yeah, it depends on the type of window. So obviously there's different types of windows, but so if people will caulk storm windows in, we'll just start there first. And at the bottom, they're stamped and pushed out, and that's for any water that may get in there from condensation. It'll run down onto the sill and nosing and run out underneath the storm window. So you would leave those spaces open. Traditional wood windows without a storm window can be caulked all the way around, so okay, that you're stopping the air. So if that's what you have, vinyl windows have a port built into them for condensation, because most vinyl windows they have air inside, they're channels, and they're hollow inside, and so the cold and the heat don't touch each other from the inside to the outside is the reason they're made that way, but they will condensate, or water can get in, and those are the drains for those windows. And of course we don't want to seal those up either. And they usually have, they're pretty noticeable. They're reinforced a little bit, so you could pick them up pretty quick as to what they are, but those places don't get caulked. But other than that, the perimeter of the window can be caulked. I think our big thing is that we talk about is if the caulk is older, take the time to remove as much of that caulk as you can. That's on the outside, because you're going to get a better bond. And what you want is you want that caulk to touch the trim, and you want it to touch the siding or the other substrate that the windows are against, and you'll get a good bond. So a multi-tool, I don't know if you have one of those, Ed, but that is a great tool for cutting caulk out. It'll save your knuckles. If you're just using a 5-in-1 tool, just put a good pair of leather gloves on. It'll keep you from destroying your hands.
Yeah, I can look at it. I got my work ahead of me on this. The 5-in-1 tool sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, that the multi tool is outstanding for that. I didn't do it for a long time, even though I know you could, and now I started using it. I'm like, what was I thinking?
Oh yeah, multi-tool. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. It'll cut your time like to a tenth.
Right.
Okay. So on the window sash, the little hole. It's got a hole. These are vinyl windows. That's that's the vent, right?
That's the condensation line or
weep hole.
Weep holes for the water.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good. All right. Okay, guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good and luck. We appreciate the call. All right. Ed goes away. David, do we have any emails you want to look at?
I did the one. Another one.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I just want to make sure I don't cut that off. We've got plenty to talk about yet, and we don't have that much time. We do have time for more calls if you've got something on your mind. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk. We're back up in the attic, though. David, one of the things that's really important is the bath exhaust fan, right? So it goes out up into the attic, and more times than not, it ends up being just dispersed. It ends up in the attic, and it's spraying, you know, or pushing the very moist air from the bathroom, from showers and so on, up into the attic space, and it's not exiting the house altogether. It's really got to exit the house. It's going to be problematic, especially in the cold. Well, it's problematic either way. You're just adding humidity to a place where you don't want mold growing, and the propensity for that to happen is high. Now, folks have taken like the ductwork and taken it to a soffit vent, like where they've got soffit vents. Say, okay, I'm going to push it out the soffit vent, and that'll be great. Not so much, because if you're pushing it out at point A in the soffit vent, and you have a ridge vent and a soffit vent system that's working either side of where that moist air is going out, the system is working and drawing the outside air back into the attic. So what it's doing is you're pushing this very humid air out, and then 6 inches to the left and 6 inches to the right, or whatever it is, you're drawing that same moist air back into the attic. So while it's diluted to some effect on a humid day, you're really not doing
correct
the right thing. So it's either got to go out a vertical wall, or they make a soffit vent. They make a vent that fits in your soffit that makes sure that it doesn't come back at you. So I think that's I don't say it's the biggest or the most common, but it's a very common issue when people are venting the bath vent into the attic or through the attic to what we hope is an exterior point.
Right.
What did I miss on that, David?
Nothing. I think you're right. So if it's a continuous vent, or it's totally perforated the vent, then those vents that's not the best place to vent them. Like I said, out a sidewall. And then I think the other thing is just to make sure that the ductwork that's carrying the air from the vent, the ventilation fan to the damper is covered with insulation.
Good point.
If you can
good
do that, that's very helpful.
Very good. All right. If you can believe it, the 2 hours have screamed by us again. Folks, we really appreciate you listening. We hope that you have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. As crazy as things are, there's still lots to be thankful for. And each week, we think we want to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. With everything else going on this week, great holiday coming up. Don't forget to work on that. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.